Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you enjoyed this beautiful week. I tell you, I was kind of afraid about that hurricane maybe coming in on us, but we do want to pray for our people there in Florida and other places that are affected by it. You know, that's one of those things that you don't know how to pray, because if you pray it miss you, then it goes on somebody else. So we have to pray that God just help it to dissipate and just go away. But it's good to be here with you this morning, so we hope you all had a good week. This morning we're going to be looking at living up to your profession. Living up to your profession. And we're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 21. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 21, as we think about living up to your profession. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to speak to us this morning in a mighty way. Father, we thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You for opportunity once again to be able to come and to share Your word upon this radio station. Lord, we pray that it will always be Your words and not ours, that, Lord, that it will come straight from You, that, Lord, that You just use me as Your instrument and as Your voice, Lord. And so I pray that You remove anything from me, between me and You, that will hinder that in any way, but that, Lord, that You'll always cleanse me of my sin and make me worthy to be used by You, because, Lord, I know I am so unworthy. We pray that Jesus will be uplifted, Lord, that He can draw any lost person into Him, that if there's someone lost, that they'll come to know Jesus today. We pray that Satan will be bound on a line to steal from us what You have for us today. And, Lord, we're going to be careful to give You the honor and the glory and the praise for it all now, in Jesus' precious name. We do pray, amen. You know, this morning as we think about living up to your profession, living up to your profession. You know, a lot of people can profess to be a lot of things, can they not? Over the last couple of weeks, I've had several discussions with different people about that, about people professing to be something or saying that I'm one thing and they're not, maybe, or saying they can do something and they can't. You know, what are we professing as Christian people? We're professing that we are Christ-like. That's what it means to say that, hey, I am a Christian. But are we living up to that profession? You know, I could tell you that I was a world-known ice skater. But if somebody was to put a set of ice skates on me, I can assure you I probably wouldn't make it 2 feet from the gate before I fell, because I couldn't live up to that profession that I may say that I am. I can profess to be an airplane pilot, but I ask you this morning, how many of you want to get in an airplane, try to take off with me? You know, you'd want to see some proof of that. You'd want to see me live up to that profession that I make. Well, you know, when we say that we're Christian people, then we are professing to be something, but are we living up to what we're saying that we are? Are we living up to that profession? Are we really living out being the Christian that we need to be? You know, I tell people all the time in my messages, you know, that it's not the rapist or the murderer or the thief or robber or people that are keeping people out of our churches. But you know who's keeping people out of our churches? It's people who profess to be Christians but do not act like Christians. Now, we have a word for that that we love to use, and it is hypocrite. We love to use that word, hypocrite. You know, a man told me one time that anybody that uses a hypocrite as an excuse not to come to church. You know, I hear that all the time. People tell me, well, I'm not coming to church down there with that bunch of hypocrites. Well, I heard a man, I read something one time that it says this. It says that you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. Think about that just a minute. You know, we're all a hypocrite at some point, but are we living up to our profession to be a Christian? So let's read what Timothy here, Paul writing in his first letter to Timothy. He's writing to this young man in the Lord. He's giving him the encouragement and the instruction that he needs that he can live up. If he's going to say, I'm a Christian, and we know that Paul brags about the faith that was in Timothy, the spirit that he had, the same faith that he saw in his mother and his grandmother and Lois and Eunice, and he talked about, you know, how glad he was to see that in him. But did he ever live up to it? And yes, we know Timothy did. He was a great follower of Jesus, and he was a great follower, a student of Paul, and Paul was his great mentor, called him his son in the Lord. But listen to what he says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and the only potent and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich of this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they get, that the rich that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold upon eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So we see that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's giving him this charge, and he's telling him about how that he is to what? Hold on to that profession that he has, that fast profession that he has professed in Christ before what? Many witnesses. He said, you've made this before many witnesses. You've told that. And he says, are you holding on to it? Are you living up to it? Are you doing those things? Or are you erring from it? You see in verse 21, it says there's a lot of people who do what? Who err from that faith. There are many people who err from it and do not live up to what God has called them to do. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we do not err from it, but that we hold fast to that which God has called us to do and gave us that great salvation through Jesus, his son. So how do we do that? You know, what does it mean to live up to that profession? How do you live up to that profession? Well, I want to look at several things this morning. We're going to look at four things that I believe show us how to live up, or how we do live up to it. The first thing that I want us to see is that if you're going to live up to that profession, then there's got to be a conversion. Before there can be a profession, there has to be a conversion. Number two, there has to be a confession. You have to confess. There has to be a confession. Number three, there's a possession. You have to possess that which Christ has given you. And then lastly, there has to be a distribution of what God has given you. And through all these things, then you're living up to that profession that you have made before many witnesses. I don't know when you were saved, or I don't know how many people were around when you were saved. This morning we're going to be baptizing a young lady, and she'll come forward and we'll celebrate with her. And you know, she does that in many witnesses. You know, we say at weddings when people are getting married, remember that not only are you making these vows before what? Before God, but you're making them before these many witnesses. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're not just making that vow to God, but we make it and we proclaim it publicly. And there, you know, we're doing it, and we're making it before a lot of witnesses, a lot of people that are watching us. So do we live up to it? You know, that's the question of the day. Are we living up? Do we live up to that profession that we made? So first of all, I said was what? There has to be that conversion. Now, what does that mean, that when somebody is converted? You know, the Bible talks about how that we were once liars, but we don't lie anymore. We was once thieves, but we don't steal anymore. In other words, we've turned over what we would say in our day and time. We've turned over a new leaf. We turned over a new leaf of life. You know, we're going a different direction. There's a conversion that has taken place with us. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about last week, about that conforming and transforming. We had to be transformed and we had to be converted into something else. I've never seen so many people, you know, we have all kind of TV shows about people converting things into other things and, you know, making this out of that, and just how you make something that had one ideal about it and one purpose for it, and then what? Then it's completely converted into something else. Well, that's the way we are. You know, we are born into sin. We are sinners by nature because of sin entering into the world through Adam. But then we are to be what? Converted. We get a new nature. We get a new purpose. We get a new being. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us what? That if a person be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. He's been converted. All the old things have passed away, and behold, what, all things become new. I know people love, my wife loves to watch it, I do too, these houses, when they flip these houses and they redo these houses, and how that they will take an old house that looks terrible and they'll just gut it on the inside and they convert it and make it into something, man, you never thought it would look like it did. Well, that's what God does with us. If we're going to profess to be a Christian, if you're going to live up to what you call yourself as a Christian, then there first has to be that time of conversion. That time that God has gutted you out. I know that may not be too pleasant, but that God has gutted you out and he has started all over. Because see, that's where it begins. It begins on the inside. It's an inside-out move that God makes in our lives. And he talks about this. He just got through talking about the love of money and how that the love of that money has ruined many a person and brought many a person a many sorrow because it's evil. And it is the root of all evil, he says. But then he says in that verse 11 where we picked up, but old man of God or woman of God, flee from those things. Don't get caught up. There's got to be that conversion. You cannot live up to your profession of being a Christian and live like the world lives. You cannot live up to your profession of being a Christian and act like the world acts. Now, you know, I've said a lot of times, you know, we can't expect anything else out of lost people than for lost people to do what? Act like lost people. Because they don't know Jesus. They're going to act like the world. They're going to be of the world. They're going to make bad decisions. But brothers and sisters, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and you profess to be a Christian, there should be that conversion that takes place in your life. And that's what he says. So he says, flee from those things, but follow after what? Righteousness. Righteousness. You know, righteousness is not just doing what is right all the time, but it's doing what we know is right according to God. And that scene brings us into the second. He says godliness, to live like God. Our Bible teaches that our God is a holy God. And then what? He expects us to strive to be holy. He expects us to strive to be like him, to be more like Jesus. We talked about following in those footsteps of Jesus the other day. You know, we need to follow after that godliness, after that righteousness. He says after faith. You know, if you're not exercising your faith, then what happens? We see that James says what? Our faith without works is dead, isn't it? It's dead. You got to be converted. You got to exercise that faith. You got to follow after love. He said that if we can't love our brothers who we see, how can we say that we love God? If we don't love God, love our brother, then the love of God's not in us. He says we're a liar if we say that. We got to follow after those things of patience and meekness. Now, you know, patience is not one of our, most of us as virtues, is it? Because most of us, you know, we say, Lord, give me patience, give it to me right now. And in this world that we're living in, it's hard to be patient. But he says there's got to be that conversion that takes place. We flee from those things that are sinful, those things that are ungodly, unrighteous. And what do? We follow after those things that are righteous. And we follow after what we call the fruits of the Spirit. So that's the first thing. If you want to live up to your profession, then you've got to go through that conversion. Well, let's think about the confession. You know, if we're going to live up to our profession, then we got to make sure that we have made that confession. Now, I'm not talking about going to your priest and confessing your sins before your priest. That's not what I'm talking about. Here, look what it says in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickened all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, what was that good confession or profession that he made before Pontius Pilate? Well, we see that he is before Pontius. We know that they had been asking him, Pilate, could not find really anything wrong with him. He couldn't find any reason to crucify him. We know that Jesus' death on the cross was a sham. We know that he had done nothing wrong, but it was necessary, as we talked about last week, for us to have salvation, for us to be able to be saved. And so we see here that he says, Jesus, you know, what about it? Who are you? What's going on? And what did Jesus tell him? You go to John chapter 18, verse 36, and you see Jesus before Pilate, and he tells him, he says what? That I am not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then you would not be able to arrest me, and you wouldn't be able to do anything to me. My people would fight for me if it were of this world. But he said, it's not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. This is something much better, isn't it? And he said, you keep asking me, you know, am I God? Am I the Son of God? Am I king? Yes, I'm a king. I'm the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Listen to me. If we're going to live out our profession, then we've got to realize that what? That we are not of this world. We've got to realize that our kingdom is not of this kingdom. It is something more. You know, it's a sad day that when our churches can get so wrapped up in the things of this world, and churches can get wrapped up in so many materialistic things here on this world, and fall out and fight and split over these material things that are of this world, then they act like they're not even worried about the things that are above. If you're going to live out your profession that you are a Christian, then you got to set your sights a little higher. You got to set your sights a little higher. Listen, my sights are set a lot higher. I hope and pray, you know, that I don't get so wrapped up in this world that I let this world hold me down. Listen, I have something much better. Paul says he had something much better. Jesus said, I got something much greater. My kingdom's much greater. It's not of this world. It's a kingdom of everlasting kingdom. And you know, when I think about that, going through this world, it really don't matter what happens in this world. You know, God has blessed me. I have a lot of material possessions that God has blessed me with that we enjoy while we're here on this earth. But listen, I'm not going to take any of that thing with me. These things really don't amount to anything. The Bible says one day they're all going to burn up and they're all going to be gone anyway. So what good is it going to do me then? What good will it do me then? I have to set my sights now on those things that are above. I got to set my sights on those things that are heavenly, those things that are above in a kingdom that's not here. If you're going to live out your profession, then you got to confess, hey, I'm not of this world anything. But see, the problem is that so many of our Christian people are so worldly. So many of our church members are so worldly. The world has such a grip on them. You know, we have to make that confession in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. What did he say? How do we have salvation? We have to confess with our mouth that what? That Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him up from the dead. We have to believe in our heart that God really believed and raised him up. And with our mouth, we make that confession. But if we really believe that, if we really believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, if we make that confession, then we have to live up to that profession that we really believe that we are not of this world, but we are of a greater place and a greater world. Well, let's look at the third thing. We see the third thing we see is, I said, that not only if we're going to live up to our profession, that we have to have a conversion, a confession, and then we have to have a possession. We have to possess it. Now, notice what he says here as we look in verse 12 once again. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So he says, lay hold on that what? Eternal life. Now, we have to understand that he's not saying here that the only way that we can get eternal life is to work for it and we earn it in some way. This is not what it means when he says, lay hold on this eternal life. What actually he's saying on is hold on to that eternal life. Possess that eternal life. Let everybody know that what? That you own it. Have you ever heard somebody say that? You need to own that. You need to step up and you need to own that. That needs to be yours. You got to make sure that you possess that. And like I said, we were talking just this past week. Some of our pastors and stuff were gathered in a pastor's conference. One of our pastors brought up and was talking about, you know, how that we got to do more than just profess Jesus. We got to possess it. We got to possess it in our hearts. We got to possess him in our lives. We got to hold on and lay hold to that eternal life by professing Him as our Lord and Savior, by confessing our sins before Him, repenting of those, going through that conversion time, we see that then we really possess it. Do you own it? Do you own your salvation? I mean, do you live it out? That's what I'm saying. That's what the whole message is about. Do you live it out? Are you living out your profession? Do you own your salvation? Is it you? Is it who you are as you hold on? In verse 19, it says, laying up in store themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So he says, you know, we got to lay up store and we got to possess it. It's got to be ours. We got to own it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 is talking about Jesus being our great high priest. And since we have that great high priest, he says what? Hold fast to that profession that you have made. Hold fast to it. Hold on to it. In other words, own it, that it's yours. You know, isn't it amazing? When you watch children, I know I love to watch children and, you know, raising three of our own and then those nine grandchildren, and to watch them, you know, growing up and being there in the house and the way they interact and the things that they do. Isn't it amazing how that it doesn't take them long to learn one word? Mine. Mine. I mean, you can have 100 toys in the middle of the floor, and one kid will pick up one and be playing with it, and before long, what's going to happen? Another kid's going to go over there and grab it out of his hand and holler, mine. And then that's going to grab it back and say, mine. Well, to me, that's what it's talking about. We got to hold fast. We got to make sure we hold on to it. No, you can't lose your salvation. No, we know Jesus has got you in his hand and you'll never lose it. But what he's saying, brothers and sisters, are we living up to that profession? Lay hold on it. Hold on to it. Possess it. Make it yours. Make it your own. There is no greater possession that you will ever have than what? Than your soul. It is your soul that is your greatest possession. You have to realize that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. What did he say? He says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? For what can he give in exchange for your soul? Your greatest possession that you have is your soul, is your salvation. Are you living up to that profession? If you say that you are a Christian, that is the greatest thing that you could say, that, hey, I profess that Jesus is my Savior. Well, are you living up to that? What can you give in exchange for your soul? That soul is your greatest possession. I heard a preacher talking the other day about a man, you know, he was witnessing to, and he was talking to, and he said, well, if we started going to church, we started doing this, then we couldn't take so many vacations, and it would take time out of our vacation. And, you know, he said, man, you'd rather walk on the beach than you had on the streets of gold in heaven with your kids. You'd rather walk on the beach right now. Listen to me. We better get our priorities right. We better figure out what our greatest possession is. And your greatest possession is your Christian life, is your relationship with Jesus. And you better get it straight, because, brothers and sisters, if you don't possess it, if you don't have it, if you hadn't experienced that confessing Him with your mouth and believing in your heart, if you haven't experienced that conversion experience to where you have made that change in your life, then you're going to come up lacking on that day. What did he say? Time's going to come when we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to know who is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, that most impotent God above that's more potent than any. See what he says in verse 15? Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only potent and King of kings and Lord of lords. Who is that greatest? And we're going to stand before him one day. And is he going to ask us, you know, what happened? Why didn't you accept me? Where's your name blotted out of this book of life? What happened? You had every opportunity. And brothers and sisters, we're going to be without excuse on that day if we haven't lived up to our profession, if we're not living up to those things because we have not lived for Jesus in our life here on this earth. Well, then let's look at the last thing. The last thing that I said was there must be a distribution. Now, think about that just a minute. We just said lay hold on it, hold on to it. Don't give it up. Don't turn it loose. You got to hold on to it. So now we're saying what? There's got to be a time of distribution. Look what he says. here in these verses in which we read in verse 18. He says that they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now here what he's talking about is that what? He says it's hard for a rich man, you know, in this world to come to know Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples what? It would be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it would be for a rich man to enter into heaven. And so his disciples says, whew, it's impossible. There's no way a camel can go through the eye of a needle. Now, I've heard people try to explain that and say they meant, you know, the eye of a needle gate around the temple, and the only way around the city, and the only way the camel could get in was to do what? Was to get on his knees and crawl in. Well, look, I think he really meant an eye of a needle. I think he meant, you remember the little crochet needles of your grandma? I think that's what he was holding up. You see this needle, like they weave with stuff? He said it'd be easier for a camel to go through that eye. And that's the reason they said, well, it must be impossible. Because they knew a camel could get through the eye of the needle gate by getting on his knees. But for them to say it's impossible, I think Jesus really was saying it would be easier for a camel to go through this eye of this needle. And they said, that's impossible. What did they say? They said, but with God, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. So he's talking to the rich here. And he's saying to them, he's saying, listen, all these riches, look, he just started out, as we talked about there in verse 10, we didn't read the love of money being the root of all evil. And now he says, you rich men, don't be high-minded. Don't have your possessions as what's holding you back from accepting Jesus, like that rich young ruler we talked about a couple weeks ago, who wouldn't give up. Because why? He had great possessions. He wouldn't sell them. But he says, you need to be what? You need to be rich unto God. You need to come to him. And the way you do that is to do good and to be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. In other words, you got to be willing to give up your stuff. You got to be willing to help the needy and to share with them and to use what God has given unto you. He says, laying up what? Store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Verse 19, that they may, there it is, lay hold on that eternal life. Listen to me. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, what did we see that Jesus told them? He says in that Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, you seek after all these things of the world, you seek after all those things, but he said, you know, you need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, these treasures that you lay up here on earth, that rust can get to them, the moth can eat them up, you know, thief can steal them. A lot of things can happen to these earthly possessions that we have. But he says, lay up for yourself that good foundation. That's what he said there in verse 19. Storing up for them a good foundation, laying up for themselves those treasures in heaven, so that they can have what? They can have that blessing and those rewards waiting for them when they get to heaven. But it all starts with being willing to distribute. In other words, if we are going to live up to our profession, we got to experience that confession, that conversion. We got to have that confession. We got to have that possession that we possess it, that ours, our own, it is mine. And then we got to be willing to what? Share it. Share it. It's just that simple. We got to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to share my faith with someone else. I'm going to share my profession. Now, if we're going to get out here and say this profession, what did he say? In a good profession before many witnesses, and then not live up to it, then, you know, we're doing more hurt than we are good. We got to live up to it, and that's the problem. If you're going to share your faith, then you got to live up to what you're telling people you believe, that you live accordingly. You know, how many of us would want to follow somebody and do what they would not do? And they tell us, well, if you'll do this and do that, and you say, well, are you going to do it? Well, no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I'm not going to do it. Well, why not? Well, I really don't believe in it. Well, why should I follow you? Why should I do it? Well, if we're not going to live up to our profession, then why should other people want to hear it? But if we are living up to our profession, then we ought to be telling other people so that they can hear it. We ought to be sharing that gospel with them. We ought to be proclaiming it from the housetop. We ought to be telling people who Jesus is and what Jesus can do for them. Because, see, that's what it's all about, folks. Living up to our profession, we got to give it away to keep it. You know, that's what Jesus said in it. He that tries to save his life will lose it, but he that will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Paul says, I am crucified with him. I'm dead to sin, but yet I still live. You know, Jesus lives within me. I don't live to myself, but now Jesus lives within me. If we're going to keep it, then we got to give it away. Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, let him take up his cross and do what? Deny himself and follow me. So brothers and sisters, this morning the question still remains, are you living up to your profession? Maybe you're not even professing to be a Christian because you're not a Christian. Then this morning I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Experience that conversion time. Confess him with your mouth. Believe in him with your heart. Possess it as your own within you. Don't just profess it, but possess it. Let it become your greatest possession and then share it with others. If you are a Christian this morning, then the question still remains, are you living up to that profession? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. We pray for those that may be traveling for safe journey. We pray for those that may be shut in, that, Lord, that you minister to them the things that they need. But, Lord, we pray most of all for that one that's not living up to their profession. Help us all as Christians not to be that hypocrite. Lord, if there's one lost, I pray that today they will profess you as their Lord and Savior, and that they'll live up to it from this time forward. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.